Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you are in the world. This is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you today who have taken out the time to tune into this podcast. And I know your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 28 minutes and a few seconds, I want to add to your wellness experience as well as mine. First of all, please go to Wiser Living, wiserliving.com, and on that initial page, you will see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation. You can also click on the Wiser Living TV, .tv link to watch all of the YouTube videos we've uploaded. And by subscribing, you'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our archive radio programs at Wiser Living Radio, and you can check out the menu bar that lists all of the articles, programs, and services, Wiser Living seminars, recipes, and also products. So even if you don't, if you choose not to get products from the Wiser Living website, at least you can, you know, take your product and actually look at these and make a determination if they're the same or not. So do take a look at that at your earliest convenience. I really appreciate it. So once again, check out wiserliving.com, wiserliving.com, Wiser Living TV. Follow us at Wiser Living Radio. Like us at facebook.com/wiserliving, and you can also connect with us at Google Plus, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. Okay, David Philip Vetter. David Philip Vetter, V-E-T-T-E-R. He was born on September 21st, 1971. He had a condition called severe combined immunodeficiency, or SCID. This is a hereditary disease that severely weakens the immune system to the point that you are highly susceptible to all types of infections, and if you are exposed to pathogens, it will kill you. A pathogen is anything that can produce a disease. I'm going to use that word a lot today. A pathogen is anything that can produce a disease. And as you might suspect, there are many, many pathogens in our environment. And so this newborn infant came into the world with this condition and had to be placed in a sterilized environment immediately after being removed from his mother's womb. And since his immune system was severely compromised, meaning it could not recognize invaders, therefore his immune system didn't have the ability to isolate the enemy, neutralize it, and eliminate it. He had to be placed in this sterilized, germ-free environment that would be his home for most of his life. Water, air, food, diapers, and his clothes were all sterilized before they could be placed in his sterilized living quarters. And if you wanted to touch him, you had to wear special plastic gloves that were attached to the walls of his plastic living quarters. And if he came out of this sterile environment, he had to wear a special spacesuit that NASA made for him in order to not risk being contaminated by bacteria, viruses, or toxins. And when he was 12 years old, let me correct that. When he was 12 years of age, the doctors made the decision to give him a bone marrow transplant from his sister in an effort to build his immune system, the cells of his immune system. And the bone marrow, as you might know, is home to white blood cells, stem cells, red blood cells, platelets, and so forth and so on. Basically, bone marrow is a key component of the lymphatic system, producing lymphocytes that support the body's immune system. Well, a few months after receiving the bone marrow transplant, he became ill with a viral condition. And that viral condition was called infectious mononucleosis. I remember in high school, my on the football team, our star quarterback, who eventually went professional, got mononucleosis because we're all drinking from the same water container. But 15 days after receiving the bone marrow transplant, he died at age 12. Because once he received the transplant, the virus spread. There was a virus in it. It spread and produced hundreds of cancerous tumors. The autopsy revealed that the donor's bone marrow had traces, just traces of a dormant virus, which was not detected during the pre-screening process. And back in 1971, but I guarantee you they went through an exhaustive screening, pre-screening process. This story shows how important it is to maintain a healthy and vibrant immune system. Because without it, performing at peak efficiency, you will succumb to all of these invaders that seek to steal, kill, and destroy the body that you're living in. So what exactly is your immune system and what does it do? Well, when an intruder, an invader, a pathogen makes its way into your body, a group of cells recognize this enemy and attacks it and kills it. Every time it does this, your internal environment remains happy and remains healthy. Now, since the immune system needs to function all over the body, because the little enemies, these little enemies or microbes, they can enter your body pretty much anywhere. I mean, the immune system or the immune organs are located throughout your body. Altogether or collectively, they are known as lymphoid organs. And every bone consists of bone marrow, as I mentioned previously. This is the place where all immune system cells are born as stem cells. Now, some of them, they stay there to develop, and others travel to different areas of the body, like the thymus. I'll talk about T cells later on. That's what, they're thymus cells. They come from the thymus. Tonsils, if you have your thymus. Tonsils, if you have your tonsils. It's an immune system depot. Your adenoids, your spleen, your lymph nodes. Obviously, most people know about the lymph nodes, which are located in the neck, the armpit, the abdomen, and groin. That's why when you get sick, doctors check your, they start feeling around your neck to see if those lymph nodes have enlarged. And so where these immune system cells in these areas, they congregate because they're waiting to fight incoming invaders. They're like the Army or the Navy or the Air Force or the Special Ops, the Marines. They hang out in these places where they get prepared before going into battle. And all of these lymphatic organs are connected with a network of vessels. And these lymphatic vessels line up pretty close to your blood vessels, and there's a constant exchange between the two. So the immune system can immediately recognize any strange-looking invaders that are attempting to hitch a ride through your blood vessels. We have basically two types of immune systems to help keep you functioning so you can do what you're called to do. We have our innate immune system, which provides a general defense strategy for fighting and eliminating enemy pathogens. And we have what is called an adaptive immune system that will respond more systematically to specific threats that might make it into your system through your mouth and your skin, or your nose, or your sex organs, for example. Now, the first line of defense provides the innate immunity. We all have it. The enemy invaders, looking to, wreak havoc in your body, first come across a defense barrier like the skin or the tears, nose hairs, ear hairs, which make it hard for things like things that shouldn't be in the body to make their way inside. So a lot of times we're just cutting everything out because it's unsightly, so to speak, and so we cut it out and basically we're kind of cut it. If you go crazy with it, be OCD about it, you might, you're cutting away a defense system. But if these invaders do get through, your body's internal innate defensive line gets into action. When this happens, your body will increase production of white blood cells that attack the invading bad guys or these pathogens. And if necessary, the body will increase its internal temperature, giving you a fever to fight the growth of the bacteria or virus. And, you know, a fever makes you feel yucky, but bacteria and especially viruses can't stand heat. So a fever is fighting the good fight. And sometimes fevers can get you out of school. You know, it can get you out of work. Sometimes people take advantage of that. Anyway, all white blood cells come from the bone marrow, but the way they fight the invaders to your body may differ. You know, some white blood cells are called phagocytes. I mean, I'm using these crazy words, but they're kind of interesting because the word actually tells you what they do. Phagocytes, they go crazy on pathogens. I mean, they're straight up swallowing and devouring any pathogen that comes in your body. So some of them are called macrophages. And phage just means, P-H-A-G, E means eat. Macro, big, these are big eaters. I mean, they're like voracious. They are really affected because they are super hungry for pathogens only. Because if they're eating other stuff, you know, like belongs in your body, that's another thing, what we call autoimmunity, which I'll touch on later. And you have granulocytes. These cells have small pockets or granules with potent killer chemicals inside. So when a granulocyte or a granule cell swallows a virus, a chemical is released from the granule to kill the invader, to kill the virus. So as you know, on the human front, we have no cures for virus, but the body has an amazing ability to lock on to one and say, you know, you don't belong here, you've got to go. You got to leave this place and leave it now, unless you're not putting the right nourishment in your body. So we'll touch on that a little later. These little granules actually there's another one I want to mention, and they're called, I call these the almighty natural killer cells. I mean, these are the AK-47s of immunity. The name says it all. These cells kill, or they're just hardcore. They are hardcore pathogen destroyers. They are so diehard, they kill virally. You know, I know some of you watch the movie Die Hard. They're serious. I mean, if they kill a virally infected cells on contact without the need for digestion or internal granules. They see something bad, it's got to go. The innate immune system is completely indebted to phagocytes, those cells that eat. Not only do they have a taste for those enemy pathogens, but they also secrete communication chemicals called cytokines. Cyto, once again, cell something. Cyto, what is a kind? Well, these are chemicals that tell other cells in the adaptive immune system, that's the one that's more specialized, that they should get their act together and prepare for an attack. Immune system is serious. It's just attacking everything that doesn't belong there. So when cells become infected, say, with a virus, they release interferons. They interfere with something, which are sugar proteins or glycoproteins, sugar proteins that send out an alert to the other innate immune system cells to do what? That sends out a signal that says, we have an unwelcome guest that doesn't belong in the neighborhood. It's like an alarm going off so you can deadbolt your doors or wake up the Doberman or the Rottweiler or Chihuahua. Your Chihuahua. You know, they are loud. They're small, but they're loud. So these cells secrete chemicals that prevent the virus from spreading. All of these cells and chemicals of the innate immune system have a common purpose, simply to kill off the infection. And this system has figured out some of the best ways to do just that. And then if an enemy enters your body, say through your skin, like you step on a rusty nail, for example, the innate immune system launches an inflammatory response to kill this invading pathogen. I just love immunology. So you have this inflammation. In this case, it's just an attempt to isolating the infection or the trauma and prevent it from affecting the rest of your body. So the very next thing that happens is that the blood flow is increased because of the heat, the inflammation. I'm here raising my hands and everything. You guys can't see that, but I'm excited about this. You know, so this blood flow increases to the damaged area. That's why the area is really red and it feels hot. So all that extra blood brings with it antimicrobial proteins. These are things that kill stuff. These are proteins that kill enemy microbes, so they can attract more of the big hungry eaters, remember the macrophages, to bump up the pathogen killing power even more. Inflammation. So inflammation is such an important part of the immune system that sometimes we really sit and try to lower the heat in your body. It's characterized by the classical signs of dolor, calor, rubor, and tumor. Basically, these are words that mean pain, heat, redness, and swelling. It's a protective response. It triggers the immune system into action. Another part of the innate immune system lies in tissue repair. Remember that word, phagocytes? Eat the cells that eat. Phagocytes are the key players in this instance because they devour dead or damaged cells. I kind of saw this happening when I cut my leg with a chainsaw years ago. It was pretty hairy, but just watching that, you know, I guess the science in me, you know, I got to guinea pig myself, and I really saw some miraculous things going on. But once the accident has been cleaned up, say, like going back to the stepping on the rusted nail, and everything is functioning again, certain chemicals will stimulate new tissue growth and get things back to normal. This is all inside your body. With all of the macrophages working overtime and consuming dangerous pathogens, they also secrete toxins that reset body temperature and cause a fever. It's just another step in the world of the innate immune response. And this innate immune response or the innate immune system typically does an amazing job. You just heard of a wide range of tools that are set into motion when your body, is faced with an intruder or an invader. But just to be on the safe side, we have a second line of defense that only gets turned on if the enemy pathogen somehow survived the first wave of defense from the innate immune system. This adaptive immune system responds to specific pathogens only. It's like the special forces of the immune system. But they're not sent out there to do, you know, to fight the, you know, the general population of troops. They're going after the strong guys, the elite. The immune system cells in this specialized immune system get a special name. Lymphocytes. These white blood cells are divided into two smaller divisions. The humoral and the cell-mediated immune system. And the humoral system is comprised of B cells, and that's the only reason I'm going into it because I want to do this alphabet real quick. The humoral system is comprised of B cells that begin as stem cells in the bone marrow. So I think bone broth is a good thing for you guys to be eating, you know, real bone broth. But they never leave home to mature. Each B cell learns to recognize a particular pathogen. These B cells are activated by antigens, which are the trademark of the enemy pathogen. So when a B cell locates a matching foreign antigen, it makes antibodies, and it also makes daughter cells. An antibody is a water-soluble form of the B cell receptor. It can go places where B cells can't. So their sole purpose is to track down and tag an enemy pathogen for death. Track down and tag. Just like we track down some of the wild animals and we don't target them for death, but we target them to try to help them live. So this is basically, this is the opposite. That's why you see the word anti, against. So antibodies are free to roam throughout your body. B cells are restricted to areas below the epithelial layer of the, say like the lining of your gut. If a pathogen sneaks into your food, they will see antibodies before they encounter any B cell. B cells love their antibodies. That's why they make lots of them and super fast. Like 2,000 antibodies are made each second for as long as a B cell is activated, which is usually around 4 days. So whether you know anything about B cells or not, know this. That translates into 691,200,000 to be exact. Bottom line, antibodies kill invading pathogens. So the immune system either eats the bad guy for supper or it gets inside of the enemy and kills it. There are other cells like T cells or thymus cells that I mentioned before, helper T cells, cytotoxic T cells, suppressor T cells, memory cells. Memory cells are cells that carry grudges. These cells, they stick around for a long time remembering a particular infection. So if that infection tries to revisit you, it immediately jumps on and says, nope, you got to go. See you later. Kills it. These cells, they're very important. So there's a constant war going on inside of your body. And you don't just have, I mean, look, you have a myriad of immune system cells that must be replenished, and they must be at peak efficiency going throughout your body. You know, why? Because the enemy wants to cripple your health, steal your health, kill the proper functioning of your organs from the cellular level, and ultimately destroy you, leading to an untimely death. Sometimes your immune system gets confused, though. Oh, I've mentioned a lot of cells here, a lot of science, and sometimes they get confused. Well, obviously, I'm not going to be able to go into all the different ways it gets confused, but it's like if it travels to a joint, like the cartilage in your joints, and ask the question, are you a cartilage cell? Are you okay? Do you need some assistance, repair maybe, or regeneration? Shall I send a stem cell to regenerate your cartilage? If the immune system cell doesn't understand the cartilage cell, there's a miscommunication. And an autoimmune-type situation occurs. And instead of an inflammation of the joint or arthritis, it becomes autoimmune or rheumatoid arthritis. So the difference between the two is a communication process. Can we agree on that? Our bodies are made up of trillions of cells, and they are all constantly evolving, you know, changing to perform their various functions each and every day or each and every minute. Each cell communicates both within the cell as well as with other cells. And every single cell in your body has five basic needs. It's absolutely must communicate. See me, defend me, regulate me, feed me, cleanse me. Cellular communication is akin to the biological operating system of the body. And proper function of every cell is basically dependent on its ability to properly talk to itself and other cells. So to perform correctly, each cell must be built properly. But the body must be provided with the raw materials to build cells as needed and to be protected by your immune system. So what you put in your mouth is critical from an eating standpoint and drinking standpoint. There are more than 200 sugars found in nature that we know of. And most are basically absorbed by the body and burned as fuel. But according to some medical biochemistry books, there are 8 specific sugars found in the chains of molecules in our body. 8 specific out of 200. There are, and these sugars are glucose, and most of you have heard of them. I wish you can go to your pantry right now and pull a couple of items out and look at the ingredients and see if it's there. Glucose, galactose, or milk sugar, mannose. Mannose is a sugar from, say, like the aloe, verapamil, xylose, fucose, N-acetylglucosamine sugar, N-acetylgalactosamine sugar, and N-acetylneuraminic acid sugar. Consider this. The English alphabet is made out of 4 basic shapes, a long line, short line, a half circle, small half circle, and large half circle. And these shapes, when linked together, these 4 shapes in various combinations, make up all 26 letters of the alphabet. And these letters form words that allow us to communicate with each other. Our bodies use various combinations of these 8 sugars in the same way to create its own alphabet. And it's referred to by many people as the sweet language of life. Now, even one missing shape can lead to miscommunication. And unfortunately, the typical modern diet, typical because that's what most people are eating, You know, it contains only two of these necessary eight sugars. And these sugars are so important. You know, they're so critically important to your body that it has a backup system designed to manufacture them in emergency. Now, the problem with this is we are becoming so heavily dependent on this emergency backup system that it's growing increasingly taxing and stressful for the body to meet the, you know, the cell's demand. So if these sugars are not supplied in the diet and your body fails to make them properly, cell-to-cell communication is diminished and you have dysfunction. There are companies out there that have at least one critical sugar called mannose, M-A-N-N-O-S-E, in their, you know, immune formulation. But this is one. But there's one company that has a worldwide patent on the blend of all eight sugars, and which basically supports cell-to-cell communication, organ function, proper digestive function, gastrointestinal health, recall and recognition, immune system function, and it may improve mood and decrease irritability, which all equal total function. So here's 12 foods for a healthy immune response. Number one, unpasteurized grass-fed organic milk. You know, whey protein from organic grass-fed cows is really, really good, but it's got to be organic and it's got to be grass-fed. Fermented foods is a serious boost to your immunity, especially your gut ecology. Number three would be raw organic eggs from pasture-raised chickens. I know some of you are going, raw? Okay, don't worry about it, but it's excellent. Number four would be grass-fed beef or organ meats, which unless you are a carbohydrate type, you know, some of you vegetarians out there don't consume this. But number five would be coconut and coconut oil that is unrefined, unbleached, made without heat processing and chemicals, and non-GMO. Number six, locally grown organic vegetables. Number seven, organic blueberries and raspberries. Number eight, mushrooms, because they got a lot of beta-glucans like reishi, shiitake, and maitake. Give you an example. Number nine is freshwater algae called chlorella, C-H-L-O-R-E-L-L-A, chlorella. Number 10, propolis. That's bee resin because it's antimicrobial. 11 would be matcha. That's green tea, matcha green tea, and tulsi, T-U-L-S-I-T, because they're rich in polyphenol. And 12 is herbs. I put that last, herbs and spices, especially garlic. Then there's honeysuckle, licorice, black pepper, cinnamon, cloves, turmeric, andrographis, which is antiviral, and artemisia, which is anti-malarial if you're in areas like that. So those are the 12. Also, let me mention some foods that weaken your immune system. Fast food place that you go to, you might want to stop. Number two, processed food. So when you're going up and down the aisles of your favorite supermarket, I want to stay away from processed food, seriously. Number three, meat that is grain-fed. Cows don't eat grain, chickens don't eat grain, and fish don't eat grain. So if it's not grass-fed or the fish eat green stuff, don't buy it or buy it rarely. Processed sugars, not getting rest, even though that's not a food. Synthetic and rancid fats like vegetable oil, canola oil, all those weird-looking oils that you may have, preservatives, GMO ingredients, and additives and colors, red 40, blue 1, yellow 5. You got to stay completely away from all of those. And I can spend a lot of time just specifically why these things should be thrown out of your cabinet, your pantry, and your refrigerator. But our time is up. So think about this. You might want to re-listen to this broadcast and share it with others because they really need it. It's vital. Your immune system needs help. Let your food be your medicine. Let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Budweiser. We'll see you next time.